Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, September 25th. In today's episode, it's been revealed a pensioner who drove his car into another man over a dispute in Medway has been in trouble with the law before. And we've spoken to residents along an unofficial diversion route in North Kent who say someone will be killed if safety isn't improved. That's all coming up. But first, let's take a look at our top story. Highways bosses in Kent say they don't know when a 50-mile limit on the A2 299 will be lifted. The restrictions were introduced along the new Thanet Way in Herne Bay for safety after clay under the surface warped in the summer heat. Some drivers say the 9-mile stretch is like one long roller coaster. Peter Osborne is the cabinet member for transport at KCC. He's been speaking with reporter Millie Bowles.
I don't think it's ever going to become a permanent speed limit. We've got to have it at the moment because the road is going like that. It's undulating quite badly, which is, you know, due to what the ground conditions it was built on back in the late 80s.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was going to sort of get onto now, is that do you think it should have been better built in the 80s when it was first constructed?
I mean, in the 80s, I was still at school. So, but yeah, I guess, I mean, it's due to the ground conditions, as I understand it, and how it was built then. It's not going to be an easy, quick fix. To do it properly and reconstruct the whole of the road along that 9-mile stretch is going to be, I mean, it'll be tens of millions of pounds. We brought the speed limit down to 50 miles an hour on a 9-mile stretch, which actually only adds 3 minutes to your journey time. So as far as, you know, we are concerned, people's safety is worth a lot more than 3 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely understand that. And having driven down it myself, you know, it doesn't slow you down that much. And I guess the other thing is, because obviously it is a long stretch of that road. When you look at how long the road itself is, we spoke to the former cabinet member for Highways, and he said that at the time in the last KCC administration, they had a make and monitor approach. So that was if it gets bad, we'll fix it. But I just want to see, is that the same approach that KCC are taking now, looking at what bits are bad and then fixing them as and when you come to them? Or are there plans to completely redo that road at some point?
I think the former, you know, we can only fix the bits, the bad bits, really. I mean, it's literally tens of millions of pounds it will cost. You know, we haven't got the money for that. We will lobby central government for some extra funds. So fingers crossed. But we can't, you know, to resurface at a 9-mile stretch, or not resurface, to reconstruct, we've got to do the whole, you know, right down to the base. It will cost millions and millions, and we just don't have that money. So what we're doing by lowering the speed limit to 50 miles an hour, we'll keep everybody safe. And we can do what we can do with the money we've got.
Great, okay. And then, I mean, obviously, as you say, the approach that you've got, and it is the only thing I guess you can do. Would you say that the road is kind of a financial millstone around KCC's neck, or a bit of a money pit, because of the way it was constructed to start with?
It hasn't helped. Certainly hasn't helped. I mean, we've got some roads in Kent that we believe should belong to National Highways.
And you say that about the A299?
That's the one. Yeah, it's one of them. Yeah. I mean, it's a strategic route. Most 99% of strategic routes are owned by National Highways, but there's a couple, there's actually two or three in Kent that we are still looking after, and it costs us a lot of money. Costs us a lot of money. But I mean, all we can do is lobby central government, get some more funds. When we get the funds, we'll get on to to doing what needs to be done.
Kent Online News.
Other news today, police have been called to a primary school in Medway after a pupil was found to have brought in a knife. The discovery was made at Wainscott Primary on Monday morning. School bosses say they took immediate action and no one was hurt, and emails also been sent out to parents. Three people have been arrested after a suspected acid attack at a pub in Rochester. A man was taken to hospital after a corrosive substance was allegedly thrown towards his face at Ye Arrow in the High Street earlier this month. Three men aged 19, 21 and 23 have been questioned and bailed. Two burglars who threatened a 14-year-old boy in his bedroom on Sheppey have been jailed for a string of break-ins. The men targeted a number of homes in Minster during a two-month crime spree earlier this year. 33-year-old David Hansen from Lawsway in Barking and Ryan Keeley, who's 27 and from the Saddlebrook Caravan Park in Laysdown, have been locked up for a total of more than 8 years. The East Thanet MP's told us she visited businesses and spoken to residents in Margate ahead of a planned anti-immigration march in the town this weekend. Polly Billington says it's caused worry for people in the town. It follows similar protests in Faversham and Canterbury in recent weeks, with campaigners met by counter-demonstrations. Now, it's been revealed a pensioner who drove his car into another man at a resident park in Medway had previously faced court for abusing a couple on the street. The pair reported Anthony Fowles to police after he pulled up beside them and verbally abused them in 2023. They managed to catch some of the confrontation on video.
I've got enough film on you, you can stop walking your dog around our house. We don't, do not want me. Your salt out near our house, okay?
Okay.
Come here, do you?
Right. And the police.
Go and get the old bill.
Yeah.
You won't get away with it this time. Don't see and see if I care.
Alright, finished.
Alright, enough.
Have a good
you
day.
You have already assaulted me and got away with it. Let's have all this out, okay?
Go on.
Yeah.
You've had a go at the other day. And now you've got the front to show your face with these five people getting evicted because you've written letters.
During the outburst, Fowles, who lives in Peninsula Crescent in Hoo, leans out of the window and tries to grab the man. Just months later, the 70-year-old drove his car at another man after wrongly believing he was trying to harass him. All of his victims have now moved out of the area.
Kent Online News.
A hospital trust in Kent has admitted shortcomings in care after a Gravesend woman lost four fingers and a thumb to sepsis. Shirley Bartram had been taken to Darrent Valley in Dartford with severe pain in her left side and being sick. She was diagnosed with a suspected kidney infection but wasn't given intravenous antibiotics as prescribed. Dartford and Gravesham NHS Trust has apologised for the distress and complications experienced. A family of three have become the first asylum seekers to arrive in the UK as part of the government's One In, One Out deal with France. It was as four people who arrived in Kent on a small boat have been sent back across the channel over the past week. Now, people living on a road in North Kent that's been used as an unofficial diversion since a major landslide fear someone will be killed if safety isn't improved. Stanhope Road in Swanscombe has turned into a rat run since Galley Hill Road shut almost 2.5 years ago. Ian Burton lives there. He's been telling us about some of the issues.
There's been actual fights between two motorists because of the frustration of the congestion. There have been numerous cars been damaged, whether they've been hit by buses, cars, lorries, whatever. The mounting of the curbs is illegal, and that is the only way this road runs at the moment freely both ways, when cars and vehicles mount the roads, and it's dangerous for pedestrians, it's dangerous for the public. And money won't, you know, people haven't got the money to sort things out, but where do you put the difference between money and lives or people getting hurt? That's why we're stopped. Our little point this week is to stop people mounting the curb in Stanhope Road to make the traffic flow. That's not the right way it should happen. Galley Hill's got to get sorted out to make Stanhope Road and other roads in Swanscombe more accessible again. This road was not built for the traffic that it's got having at the moment.
You're standing out here every evening this week with other residents. Well, what are you hoping to achieve by doing this?
Well, I decided to stand out here at 5 o'clock every evening this week, Monday to Friday, to stop people mounting the road because that is one of the problems. But I just want people from above, KCC especially, to see the problems we have in this road.
And how does it make you feel as a resident living here? Because I can imagine, like many people in Swansea, we're getting quite frustrated now.
Very frustrated, along with a lot of residents, the frustration of the traffic, the danger of pedestrians on the paths, the damage it's doing to the road, the damage it's doing to houses. Houses are actually shaking with the amount of traffic that's coming down a road which was not built for that.
What would you hope KCC are going to do in this situation? Because there are potential options. They have suggested bollards and stuff in the past.
Basically come up with an option that takes away the congestion of traffic in Stanhope Road and other roads. I know it's a hard, but that's what you're there for. You're there to solve problems, to make residents happier in their lives. People are very unhappy in living in this road. The congestion, the trouble, it's people's houses are shaking. People are worried about their properties. It's not right. We shouldn't have to keep putting out of it, and I don't want another 3 or 4 years of this.
Councillor Thomas Mallon represents Swanscombe and Greenhithe at Kent County Council.
The problem we have at this moment in time is where Galley Hill has been closed for so long. This is the main road through, but it's not built as a main road, you see. What we've got here at bottlenecks, there's only room for one car at a time to pass. So we have two cars coming down either side, there's no passing point. So this is creating a problem where cars are having to go up onto the pavements, and sometimes people have nearly been hit or knocked over by cars mounting pavements, because the way the cars have to pass, there's no way they can pass face to face. They have to mount the pavement because the road's just not wide enough. So we've got a problem with some inconsiderate drivers not showing due care and attention when there's pedestrians on pavements. And of course the infrastructure of the road itself is not big enough, not wide enough, and it's not built for lorries, buses, HGVs. So we've got a large problem in that sense.
What is your big fear could happen?
Well, my fear is injury or death. That is the big thing that could actually happen here, and we don't want that to happen. So a couple of residents have got together and they've said, let's try and make sure drivers are considerate when they're passing this area. Make sure they're not bumping up on the curbs when there's pedestrians passing. Make people aware, re-educate the driver, as it were, because it is an illegal offence to drive on the pavement, especially if there's pedestrians on that pavement. So what we have to do is just raise awareness in the area, make people drive with better due care and attention. And maybe what I will have to do is go back to Kent County Council, have a word with the Highways Department and see if there's something we can implement, something we can do to make life easier for the residents in the area.
What is an interim solution that you would like to see potentially from the Highways Department at Kent County Council?
Well, I can't actually say what could be implemented just yet. I would have to speak to Kent Highways and the people and higher authorities that know roads specially. I'm not a road specialist by any way, shape or form. I might have worked on them in a past life, but I'm no specialist on them. So I would have to go and see the Highways team, see what we can implement, even if it's a traffic light system or some sort of road calming system. I mean, you can see here we've already got road calming situations here, but it's still no good for the volume of traffic that has to come up and down this road, you see.
Both were speaking there to local Democracy reporter Ollie Leader.
Kent Online News.
A multi-million pound green campus could be built in Ramsgate, but there's no decision yet on how it could be used. Thanet Council will back the project with money from the Levelling Up Fund on Military Road. Plans include training facilities, commercial spaces and workplaces, but so far local bosses haven't received any expressions of interest. The Old Town Hall in Gravesend has been sold at auction for more than double its asking price. The historic building was put on the market last month following a campaign to safeguard the site for use by the community. It's been sold to an unknown buyer for £791,000. There are plans to build a new temporary ward in the staff car park at Darren Valley Hospital in Dartford. Improvements are being carried out at the site following concerns about fire safety, and beds need to be relocated while the works take place. Plans have been submitted for a single-storey unit to be installed outside. People living in Folkestone have hit out at a decision to close the town's bus station. The hub in Bovary Square closed on Saturday as part of a £22 million regeneration scheme. Temporary stops have been set up in Middleburg Square. Some residents have called the move disgusting and have accused the council of ignoring elderly and disabled people.
Kent Online News.
The Gravesend community is trying to save a swimming pool at a local school that's fallen into disrepair. The pool at Cecil Road Primary and Nursery has been used for lessons since the 1970s. Carrie Old is the head teacher there. She's been speaking to Henry Luck from our colleagues at KMTV.
We need to restore our school pool currently. So at the moment, we've set up a GoFundMe page and we're doing fundraising events across the school to try and raise some more money so that we can get this pool back in working order for everybody to continue to use.
Not as important for this primary school to have this course, but are you the only primary school with a functioning pool?
I believe we are the only primary school in Gravesend with a functioning pool. We value it highly as a school and a part of our community. Our children use the pool for swimming lessons from a young age, hopefully to inspire them to carry on taking up sporting. It's good for their mental health, their physical health, and also a life-saving skill, which we think is really important. And it's used with the local community as a hub to teach younger children to swim, and it's rented out to them as well.
How much do you estimate this will cost to restore?
Yeah, so the pool liner is estimated at just over £10,000. And then we have to do the rendering on the outside of the pool, and a new pool liner will be needed as well. Obviously, once we take the pool liner out, we don't know what's underneath it. It's very old. So there may be some more restoration work there needed as well. So we're estimating around the £20,000 mark.
Henry also spoke to Sonny Gill. He's a teaching assistant at Cecil Road and also attended the school in the early 2000s.
I think it will allow the children to build their confidence in the water, especially when there's so little, and some of them might not have the experience in the water like me. When I was at this school, I don't think I'd ever had much experience in a pool, and being able to have it on site allowed me to gain more confidence and be more comfortable.
Your experiences at the pool when you were younger?
Yeah, I mean, it was always enjoyable. It was something different that we got to do for school, for PE. I think we're very lucky to have a pool. Otherwise, I don't think I'd ever have the opportunity to when I was that young. So from reception, we got to do lots of fun games and becoming comfortable with the water. But love is very important to me. And the activities are just, singing songs whilst being in the pool and being able to play with your friends and learn with your friends is very important.
And finally, we can hear from some of the children who currently attend the school about what the pool means to them.
Okay, I love most about the pool is because the swimming lessons are very fun and sometimes very calm. I really hope this swimming pool stays. It's so warm and it's like it just makes me happy when I swim in it, and just nice and warm, and I like it.
Oh, I like swimming because it helps you exercise.
You can catch that full story on the KMTV website. Today marks 50 years since the IRA bombing of a pub in Maidstone. On the evening of September 25th, 1975, a bag was left between a parked car and the Hare and Hounds pub on Lower Boxley Road. It was discovered by a teenage soldier who'd been drinking at the bar at the time, one of many from the nearby Invicta Park barracks. While the building was safely evacuated, the bomb went off at around 10 p.m, injuring two police officers. As part of the 50th anniversary, Kent Online has spoken to Brian Worcester, who was landlord of the Hare and Hounds at the time. You can read the full special feature by clicking on the story on our website. Deal is the latest town set to get a banking hub following a number of branch closures. The shared space is similar to a traditional bank, but available to all customers who can withdraw and deposit cash. It's the fifth in the county, with others in Dover, Raynham, Sheerness and Tunbridge. Primark has announced it's shutting stores in Kent, the company's first branch closure in more than a decade. The shop in the Orchard Centre in Dartford is expected to go in the new year due to repair work that's needed in the building. Bosses say the level of investment required isn't viable. They're supporting staff during a consultation period.
Kent Online News.
A wine producer that has a vineyard in Kent has started its earliest ever harvest following a sunny spring and summer. Nightimber is expected to pick 2,000 tonnes of fruit from its sites in Thurnham, West Sussex and Hampshire. That should be enough to produce 1.8 million bottles of wine, with bosses optimistic it'll be top quality. A sculpture is being unveiled in Kent later, dedicated to one of the five lions rescued from Ukraine. It depicts Yuna, the first to arrive at the Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarten from the war-torn country. The sculptor said they wanted to capture her incredible journey. Today is also Yuna's birthday. A Kent artist is up for an award recognising the world's most creative independent makers. Debbie Fairbrass is based at the Creative Quarter in Folkestone and makes pieces of art from metal inspired by nature. She started out during the pandemic. The winner of the Etsy Award gets a £20,000 prize. And Joel Corry has been telling our sister station, KMFM, he's hoping to combine his music with his love of fitness. He's been on the hit list with Jack, talking about his Phases workout sessions.
I've designed like this workout that obviously to go in line with the new single Phases. Mm. And it's going to be like a power hour where there's different segments of the workout, different phases of the workout. And you know, I was saying this to someone earlier that like a lot of DJs are leaning into the sort of wellness and fitness stuff now. You see like Diplo and John Summit doing like run clubs, and I was thinking like, what's my version of that? Because I don't really run, I do more like weights and that sort of training. So I thought let's do a workout where I'm spinning some tunes. We get a load of people down and do a workout, a class where like I can be DJing and joining in the class and call it the Phases workout. So,
because I read the little brief of it and part of me did think, bit of a cough out of you, that you're going to do a bit of the workout and then go and play some tunes. I was like, mate, well, what's that about?
I've got to get on the decks though, haven't I?
You've got to do it at the same time, you know? Lift the dumbbell, do a little bit of that, you'd be all right.
Well, I'll try and do both at the same time. We'll see how it goes.
This is like the perfect side hustle for you though. Obviously, you know what I mean? Being in outrageous shape is insane. But do you reckon these are going to become more frequent? Are you thinking maybe I'm going to own a gym? Or...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's in for a side hustle.
My two passions in life was always fitness and DJing. And when I was a teenager, I was either on my decks annoying my mum playing the music really loud, or I was down the gym lifting weights. That's what I did. I've done that my whole life, you know. And 20 years later, I'm still doing it.
in constant summer heat, still doing the exact same two things.
I definitely want to, you know, do some more events like this, and it's my way of, as I said, kind of aligning both things, the fitness and the DJ.
You can listen back to their chat in full on the podcast page at kmfm.co.uk.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now with London City Lionesses have beaten Crystal Palace in the Women's League Cup. The side, who trained in Aylesford, secured a 2-1 victory in their first group stage match last night. It comes as the Lionesses have submitted plans to completely overhaul their training ground in Kent. The club wants to knock down the existing building at Cobdown Sports Ground and build a state-of-the-art new facility. It would include locker rooms, treatment rooms, a gym and hydrotherapy facilities. The development has been recommended for approval. And briefly, in cricket, Kent are in a tough position going into day two of their final county championship match of the season. Derbyshire managed to reach 389 for two in their first innings at Canterbury. It follows a disappointing campaign for Kent, who are bottom of Division 2. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more, head to www.kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.